So from Galatians 5 and then Matthew chapter 11. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus, you taught very clearly in the Gospel of John that apart from you, we can do nothing. In that same passage, you taught us that it is to your Father's glory that our lives would bear much fruit. And that would be the proof that we are your disciples. And Lord, we long for this fruit, particularly today as we look at gentleness. We ask that you would reveal new truths to us about this, about ourselves and our lack of gentleness. And if you would make clear, Holy Father, what it means to be gentle and how we can become gentle, we would be grateful, for we know it would bring you honor and glory and would be a transforming message to a world that is extremely harsh and hard. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Occasionally, we come across someone, we meet someone who is a gentle person. And when we do, I think we're struck by their strength. We do not live in a world that admires gentleness. We live in a world that is harsh, a world that desires to be on top at all cost, no matter what it costs the people that you crushed in order to get there. Gentleness is not an attribute that men are real excited about being noted for, at least not initially. If someone says to me they would be interested in meeting a lady, and I said, well, how might I describe you to them? I doubt very seriously that many would say, first tell them I'm gentle. Red flags would go up, much like if a woman said, tell them I have a great personality. What's wrong? Red flags fly. But gentleness is not admired because it's not understood. Certainly not biblically. So this morning, in just a little bit of time, I seek to answer three questions. First, what is biblical gentleness? Secondly, why is it so hard to be gentle? And third, how is it we can be gentle? How is it we can become gentle? I have wrestled with great pain in preparing this sermon, largely because I think as I look at the fruit of the Spirit, you always see the limitations. You always see the areas in your life where it's not there. But this is one, in my life particularly, that is painful to admit how many times gentleness has not been in my character. Perhaps from a distance, you might think there's gentleness. But really, in many ways, that's like me putting on a Velcro suit and taking Velcro and putting it on a fake piece of fruit called gentleness and putting it on my body. It's not real. So often there have been times in my life where the gentleness is not present. My temper is lost. The sharp thing I say to my wife or to my children, those I love the most, or the things I think as I'm confronted by someone over an issue in my life, maybe they're not responding to me with gentleness. My gentleness is not there in thought. And so I confess to the Lord that apart from him, he's told me there's no way gentleness could be in me. And I confess to you, I see growth. I see the Lord's promise in sanctification. But there just simply have been times when I have said things, exploded, was so ungentle that I really don't deserve to be in this place. I share that with you today, because it's always only by God's grace that any man could stand and preach. No man stands in this pulpit perfect. We stand in the perfect righteousness of Christ. And it's okay to admit those things in our life that are weak and challenging. And for me, gentleness is one that I must confess. I beg the Lord to give me more and more grace. And I see it. I know also that I'm speaking to a congregation of people that, if we're honest, gentleness is often lacking in our life as well. The way in which we talk to our children in a moment of frustration, irritation. The way in which women, you talk to your husbands or give very, very harsh looks, or the reverse, men. The way in which you speak to your wives or the way in which you give those very, very harsh looks is not what the Lord had in mind. And if you want to think about the way Christians relate to gentleness, just simply pursue some of the blogs that are out there as one Christian writes to another Christian. Wow, where's the gentleness? Where's the compassion? Where's the sense of being understood and understanding? Where's the love so often simply gone? And so this is a powerful word for us to really understand what Jesus meant by gentleness. So what is gentleness? I simply want to define it this way. Gentleness is strength under control. Gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is not a frail person simply grabbing on. It's not passive. Gentleness is strength under control. The word that Paul uses here in the Greek was used in secular Greek language and writings to describe wind, a gentle wind, the healing touch of medicine, and a colt that would be broken by bridle. But wind becomes a fierce storm, and too much medicine kills, and a colt that's been broken can easily be unbroken. And this is the reality of what gentleness is. It's not weakness, it's strength, but it's strength under control. Imagine a machine with great technology that has the power and ability and strength to crush cars. But imagine that same machine, gently operated, being able to crush a pecan, really just shelling it so that there's still something to eat. That's gentleness. Gentleness is strength and power under control. It's not weakness. And so, in a person's relationships with others, gentleness is characterized by humility, selflessness, kindness, patience, forbearance, benevolence, desire for the best. It does not seek revenge, even when wounded. And so, when we are confronted with the harsh world, often manifest through sinful people, even sin done against us, there is a call for us to be gentle, which means power in us that is under control. But it's difficult to be gentle. And the more power that you possess, or the more power that you think you possess, the more difficult it is to be truly gentle. What kind of power am I speaking of? Well, it could be the power of position in your family. Older children, listen to me for a minute. Are you gentle with your younger siblings? Younger children with maybe a fiery attitude, are you gentle towards those who are older than you? Wives, moms, are you gentle with your babes? Are you constantly gentle even as you discipline, even as they fail once again? Men, are you gentle with your wives? Are you gentle, though you have a position that the Lord's given you to lead your house? Are you laying down your life for your wife? Are you gentle with your children? The power of position at work. Are you an employer, and are you gentle with your employees? Not just some of them, but all of them. Are you gentle even when they fail? If you're a coworker and you're on an assignment with someone and someone fails and it costs you money, it cost you a promotion, it cost your identity. Are you gentle with those as a Christian whom you are working with? The power of position, even in ministry. Because I have the privilege of being the pastor of this church, serving with wonderful people in this body, this is a powerful church in our denomination. And can I exercise a lack of gentleness because of the amount of money that this church is able to give? It can be tempting to to find my identity in a place it shouldn't be. There's also the power of wealth. And perhaps the more you have or the more you've acquired, you sense you're entitled to a certain amount of non-gentleness. You've earned it. You deserve it. Or you inherited it. It's yours. Maybe there is a power that's not in money or position, but in knowledge. You're smarter than others. You have a greater wit. You put things together quicker, and you look down on those and exercise a lack of gentleness because of your knowledge. There's also power in this, the power in being right. I love being right. I really, really like it. And when other people are wrong and they misunderstand me, there is something boiling in me that is not gentleness. And the power of being right can cause me to sin. There's also the power in having been wronged, hurt, wounded, indeed a victim of someone else's sin, their harshness, their lack of gentleness. And we can have power in holding that over others, even in a passive-aggressive way. There's power in our gifts, in our giftedness, and then there's the power of success. I could go on. I'm not going to. What I want you to see is that the more power we possess in these things, the greater the temptation is to not be gentle. We believe we become entitled to it. And so gentleness is very hard. Why? Second question, why? Why is it so hard to be gentle? Because we live in a broken, harsh world. Think about creation. Adam and Eve were present. It was gentle. It was perfect. It was easy to work the land. But after the sin, their eyes were open. It was harsh. They had emotions that they had never had before and feelings they had towards one another, fear, shame, guilt, all these things. And because of that, they experienced the harshness of the world and the condemnation God's law brought there to them. And the consequences of their actions were that we would be in a harsh world, and by the sweat of our brow, we would make a living. It's difficult. We live in a harsh, harsh, harsh world. So how do we become gentle? I want to look at the passage for a few minutes that is beyond Galatians 5, the Matthew 11 passage. Because believe it or not, here is the secret of the gospel in Jesus, who tells us in this very passage that he himself is gentle. How is it that we can become gentle? Look at Matthew 11, start in verse 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The word gentle here is of the same root as the one Paul's using in Galatians chapter 5. There's two things I want to encourage you with as you seek gentleness. Number one, you must come to Jesus. Jesus says, "Come to me." If you lack gentleness, it's because there is a power that you possess that in some way you feel entitled to have in a given moment. I want to be clear. There may be things that have been done to you that are wrong. And gentleness is not passive. Gentleness is not saying hard things that need to be said. It's saying hard things that need to be said in a gentle way, controlling a power in you that might not want to be gentle. It's saying hard things, but not harshly. It's saying hard things out of a spirit of love, as we see in 1 Corinthians 13. And so when we seek to be gentle, number one, we have to come to Jesus. You cannot become gentle in and of your own strength. You might be able to do it for a season, simply trying harder. But the way in which Christians become gentle is by believing what Jesus said. And Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." So apart from him, you cannot be gentle as he wants you to be gentle. You may have common grace. There might be signs of gentleness, but not the kind of gentleness that we're talking about here. Jesus says, "Come to me." So in order for you to be gentle, you've got to start with Christ. And what does he say? In this passage, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Well, are you weary? If you are, raise your hand. Are you heavy laden? Raise your hand. Are you burdened by the harsh world that we live in? Raise your hand. And because of that reality, guess what? We have an extremely difficult time being gentle. Moms, do you wake up in the morning saying to yourself, I really don't want to be gentle to my children today. I really want to lose my temper and say things I thought I would never say that might cripple them for a long time because of how harsh my words were. Do you wake up and say, I'm going to stare at my child in such a cold way while I'm on the phone talking about carpool for them as school starts? Do you say, that's how I want to live? Husbands, do you really, as believers, wake up in the morning saying, you know, I hope today I lose control lots of times. I hope that I live out of my own sense of power and my own sense of entitlement, my own wealth, my own position, and I hope I just defame the name of Christ. And I hope that I'm so exhausted by the time I get home that when I walk in, still on my phone, texting on another, doing all kinds of things, that I ignore my children. And then when confronted with the need to be gentle with them, I lose it. You don't. As a man of God, as a woman of God, you desire the fruit of the Spirit to be present in your life. But you and I, this side of heaven, are walking in a world that is harsh, that is difficult, that is challenging, and the burdens are great. And if you think you can just read a self-help book on anger management, anger control, if you think you can just say, you know what, I'll do better, you won't. You've got to come to Jesus. I don't mean just, okay, I said the saving prayer, I went to Jesus. No, I'm talking about daily abiding in him. Because the weight of your world, the weight of the pressure you're under, the challenges that we live in to follow Christ are so great that indeed we're heavy. And when we are operating out of weakness, physical weakness, relational weakness, emotional weakness, the ability to exercise controlled strength, controlled power is very difficult, is it not? And so Jesus gives us the answer, come to me. But when he says, come to me, he says something else. And this is very important. It's the second thing. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you. What does that mean? A yoke is designed for two animals to operate together in plowing the harsh ground that we hope would turn into fertile soil. To yoke means to be joined, to be united. And here's what's happening. Christ isn't saying, just come to me. He's saying, come to me and pick up, take up this yoke, my yoke, and put it on you. How interesting. It sounds like a burden, doesn't it? To put something on another. But it's not. What Jesus is saying is, this yoke, my yoke, your union with me will be the very thing that sets you free. And then he describes himself as gentle. So the only way we could ever possess any fruit of the Spirit is by abiding in Christ, by having his yoke on us, by walking with him, yoked with him. He understands the harshness of the world. He understands the anxieties that you're under. He understands the reality of brokenness and the lack of wisdom that you have in knowing how to navigate it. And he says, come to me and take my yoke. And then he describes who he is. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. So what does that practically look like? Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. That's why we sing, How Can It Be? That's why we sang this Christmas carol of gentle Mary and this babe, undefiled in a manger, undefiled as our King. But he walked on this earth gently. He walked on this earth as God. His strength, his power, under control. Even when those who he created, sinners, persecuted him. Even when those who he made wronged him. Even when those whom he made, whom he called to follow him and lead the church, failed him, he showed gentleness. And he was faithful in this gentleness to go all the way to the cross. And there on the cross, how many times have you thought to yourself, I wonder why he didn't just come down and immediately wipe them out? How many times have you thought as he was being beaten by the Roman soldiers that he would just simply raise up his fist and say, no more? How many times have you thought as he was being spit upon and mocked, as he was bleeding and beaten beyond recognition, that he would simply cry out, enough! But he didn't. Because he's gentle. Instead, he hangs there dying. And he says gently, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that violent act against him by evil people, by foul sinners like me and you, his power was restrained as the power of God Almighty, Father, was coming in his perfect wrath over, in, and through Jesus. And he died. He became sin for us, so that for all eternity, he could welcome us gently into his presence. So how is it we become gentle? By knowing we could never do it alone. Apart from me, you can do nothing. By seeking Jesus, coming to Jesus. And there at the feet of Jesus, staring at the cross of Jesus, knowing that our Savior is not there but reigning in heaven, we rest, yoked to him. Last thing, a yoke implies submission. We lack gentleness when we fail to submit to the all-powerful God. And there, my friends, is the beauty of God working through us, through a power that's greater than anything we possess, except that we possess it because we're in union with Christ. And it is the power of God. I want to be more gentle. I'm tempted to believe I could leave today and simply say, I'll try harder. But I'm wise enough now to know that the only way true gentleness is going to come is by me seeking my Savior, by being yoked to my Savior, and walking in communion with a body like this, saying, help me. I long to help you. May his gentleness be so evident in us that a harsh world would see something different. And when they ask you what it is, you won't say, I have this new book I've read. You'll speak of God's word and the power of the cross in your life to transform you as you're united to him. Pray with me. Lord, there is a sense in which we all know we have failed to be gentle. There is a great sense in which we know how hard it will be to be gentle. But I believe, Holy Spirit, that you can do a work at this very moment where even a man or a woman who thinks they're the harshest one in this place could be so renewed by the power of the cross that they indeed would be transformed. Lord, I pray that you would bring anyone who deeply struggles with anger, deeply struggles with the lack of gentleness, lacks self-control, bring them to seek your face, to trust in the power of the cross, and to seek help from others who believe the very same thing. Let us as a community walk towards you, and may the fruit of the Spirit indeed be present in our lives as real, authentic expressions of our union with you, our being yoked with you, now and for all eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.